Is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to talk?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thriving Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Who are you?
Il messaggero è importante.
Hey, it's Bill. You're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. With me tonight is Zach Cunningham from Tidefall and Reign of Z. We'll discuss Reign of Z a little later. What's up, Zach?
Oh, not much, man. I'm good. How are you?
I thought I was doing well, but my voice sounds terrible right now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until I put the headphones on.
We're our own worst critics.
Tidefall. I tried to do a little bit of research, and I didn't find out much information.
Yeah, it's kind of I hesitate to say mystery player, but it doesn't have a whole lot of history to it, honestly. Tidefall was originally formed back in, I would say, late fall of 2015. And basically what had happened is me and a couple of the original bandmates had split away from Alter the Design, and we had kind of started our own project. And it was a little tough to get off the ground at first, and we had just kind of tried out vocalists and kind of moved people around in the band. And at the time, my ex was pregnant with our twins, and we ended up moving to West Virginia from Pittsburgh. And so in the early winter of 2016, I was just kind of like, you know, I'd been driving up to Pittsburgh for these band practices. People weren't working out and things just weren't happening. So I just decided, you know, I was like, I stepped away and I just kind of focused on just working and getting things together for the babies to come. So that kind of laid dormant for about a year, honestly. And then towards beginning of this year, I had reached out to Jason, who was one of the bandmates that I was with, and he's actually now in Silence Follows. And had talked to him a little bit about it, and I had said, you know, I kind of want to do something here with music, and I decided I wanted to resurrect Tidefall. And it just got, I just kind of turned it into a studio project.
So on the track that you sent me, are you everything in that track, or did you have a band with you?
No, I'm not everything. I did the guitars and vocals with a little bit of help from Mike Ofka over at Innovation Studios. He also did the bass for the song, and Corey Muro from Punchline came in and did some session work for me.
Okay. For the drum. I'm familiar with everyone you've mentioned. So are you in the process of recording other stuff for Tidefall?
Not right now. Tidefall was pretty much all out of pocket, and I kind of just wanted it to remain a studio thing. And it's actually kind of funny because when I was in the studio recording stuff for Tidefall, I was actually in the process of talking to members of Reign of Z about joining up with the project. And we were talking about my audition. And there was a prior name to the band that they ended up not keeping the rights to. And we decided to, we had to rename the band. And there was a couple member lineups till we found the right people. But our lineup right now is solid. And we've got some really good music that we're churning out. And hopefully we'll be going in to record the single in about the next few weeks.
Well, I know you were playing at the Sidebar here coming up on the 19th, I believe.
Yep, next Saturday.
Yeah. Scale is an awesome band. I don't know if you've had the chance to listen to them yet.
Yeah, I've checked them out. I really like their sound.
So our game plan is that we'll talk about Reign of Z a little down the road when you guys have some music ready to release. So let's talk about you as a musician.
Okay.
Who would you say has been your biggest influence?
Oh, that's always so tough because like you always feel like you got the answer and then you just end up listening to music that
until somebody asks you, right?
Right. Well, I'll just put it this way. When I started playing guitar, I was 14 years old, and I'd kind of listened to different bands here and there, but the one that had really captured me when I was a kid was Breaking Benjamin. Like the first time I heard So Cold, I was just like completely hooked. And from there it spun out to Chevelle and 3 Days Grace and Seether. And it's just kind of gone up and up over the years. So I would say it'd probably be Breaking Benjamin. They really jump started my songwriting.
This may end up with the same answer, but I'll ask it anyway. if one of your one of your bands, doesn't matter which, was invited to open a tour for a national act, which national act would you like it to be?
You know, it's funny because while I would really love to open for Breaking Benjamin, I think that would be a really cool gig. I'm a really big fan of Seven Dust. So for me personally, Seven Dust would be my pick.
Cool. And what if you have a choice of what venue you would open that tour up at?
I would have to say I'd like to open it up actually at main stage of stage AE, like the outdoor stage. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That one's come up a lot recently when I asked that question. and Red Rock has come up, which isn't one that would pop into my head immediately, but that's a cool venue.
Red Rock would be really cool, but it'd be such an odd place to start a tour, you know. Yeah. I'd definitely have it on my to-do list to hit places, but that would be definitely a weird place to start one.
Of the venues that you have played at, which one has been your favorite and why?
Oh, Altar Bar, rest in peace. Altar Bar was really cool because I had been there before to some shows, so some of my artists that I really, really liked, and to go and sit in the same green room that they have, you just feel like this really cool creative buzz that just really kind of amps you up for your set.
Do you have any odd riders when you play anywhere? You know, like the No Brown M&Ms or anything like that?
It's funny. Me and Jason actually joke about this a lot. We'll like scream, I said Evian. But no, honestly, no. I'm not too much of a diva. I think I care more for the fact that people can actually hear me when I'm on stage. I'm more so kind of like, the sound guy doesn't suck than anything else. So,
have you ran into an issue where a show is going poorly because of a sound man?
I have. I think everybody has. I think everyone's had their technical issues. I mean, sometimes technical issues, they just can't be helped, but I've played shows before where the sound guy generally, like, he just gave us a very sloppy sound check, and it was one of those situations. We were a younger band, and you know, they cared more about making the headliners happy, so they kind of gave the shaft to everybody else. So
speaking of that situation, how do you feel about the pay to play where you open for a usually a former major label band, and you have to sell all those tickets?
Well, it's kind of a symptom of an industry that never really found a way to recover from illegal downloading, because it all kind of comes into flux. You know, there's the industry right now is one of the best it could ever be, and it's also the worst because the money isn't really there like it used to be. But it's awesome because you are so in control of your own brand. And I feel like ticket sales hurt bands less that are business savvy and they know how to market themselves. I'm a firm believer that you don't take bad shows, no matter who the person is that asks you. I believe on principle you should not take bad shows just to go play shows. So I would look at, you know, where am I going to be playing at? What kind of market do I have to sell these tickets? And what kind of deal are they offering me? You know, if they're saying, oh yeah, sell 50 tickets for like $10 a pop, we'll give you like $1 a ticket. No, I'm good. Like, you know, I'm not going to, and that's another thing too. Like if you got a local band, not just one, but like two or three opening for like a major headliner, they're doing that because they need the local bands to bring people in. And so, you know, local bands should kind of, I don't want to say give pushback to promoters or anything like that, but they should stand their ground in the sense that, you know, we aren't going to take a bad deal just because you think we're naive. So I think that artists should feel confident in negotiating rates with talent buyers in this situation, because I think there's a lot of good bands that let themselves get hurt by this kind of predatory system.
I should have asked this earlier, but I feel like you're probably, I'm going to guess your age. I'd say like 32.
No, I'm actually, I just turned 28.
Well, I was, I was off, but I wasn't off a lot.
No, not really.
But generally, the older musicians are, they what's the, how do I want to word it? Not that 32 is old, because I'm older than that. but they tend to see both sides of it, and that's what I was hearing from you.
I do. I see both sides of it. I see it as, if you are business smart and you don't let yourself get taken advantage of, you can work things into your favor in most cases. You just have to be able to kind of negotiate and really stand up for what your worth is. I actually got fortunate. I learned this rather quickly, more than over the long term, in terms of, you know, my experiences in Pittsburgh. So, you know, there's a lot of great bands out there, and there's a lot of good promoters that you can work with, but it's getting harder and harder to find them.
Have you, and now I don't want to burn any bridges, I won't ask that.
I've had my experiences. I will keep names out of it, but I have had my experiences.
I was going to ask you if there was a promoter that you wouldn't work with.
That's one thing that I have learned is, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, you probably shouldn't say it at all.
That's why I stopped myself.
Yeah.
An embarrassing moment on stage that you'd be willing to share.
Well, definitely nothing nearly as cool as Michael Schenker. Have you read that interview? He said he shit his pants on stage. I can't say I've ever done anything like that. I think honestly, the most embarrassing thing is you're like getting into it and, you know, you step on your guitar cord and it comes out of your guitar like mid song. You're like, oh shit. So, but I've actually been quite fortunate. I haven't had too many embarrassing snafus on stage.
If I was looking at your music collection, what bands and artists would I see?
I mean, obviously we've talked about Breaking Benjamin and Seven Dust, but I'm also really into like Periphery and Tesseract, Sky Harbor. I'm really into like very ambient sounds with guitars. So Scale to Summit's pretty gnarly to listen to. I don't think you find anything that would be too shocking. I'll say that. Like I don't think I listen to a whole lot that's too far out of the scope, but yeah. I don't think anything groundbreaking's in there.
How long have you been playing? You said 14 and you're 28, so half your life.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
In those 14 or so years, who would you say supported you the most as a musician?
I mean, my mom has always supported me, but it was more so, you know, being from West Virginia and there's not a whole lot of opportunity for music out here. She was always kind of, you know, one of the ones that was on the cautious side. You know, she had a job since she was 18 and it had been a stable workforce. So that was kind of what really shaped her opinion. You know, she was always very supportive, but it was just like, make sure you go to school and you have a backup plan. And I can tell you, after being to 4 colleges with no degree, I don't want a backup plan. So,
what did you go to school for that you didn't finish?
well, let's see, psychology, business, computer sciences, and then criminal justice.
So it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I just kind of figured, you know, I'll try like all the different ones, and I would find interest in a class or two, and then the other classes would just be so boring to me. And I think part of the problem is too, you know, with college, they load you up with so many courses that don't really pertain to your major. It's just that little extra cash grab. That I just found myself rather picking up the guitar and working on music. And I was just like, you know, this is stupid. Why do I keep putting myself thousands of thousands in the debt for something that I'm not going to finish when I could be, you know, doing this? So,
And Reign of Z is Reign of Z is relatively new. You just played that Femme Fatale, right? Correct? Was that the first?
That was our first show.
And I'm trying to remember who else was there. I don't remember.
it was us, Silence Follows, Whorehound, and Defy the Tide.
Okay. And that was in Mr. Smalls in the I remember that new area they have that I can't remember the name of.
the Funhouse.
Okay. What was it like in there? I've never been to the Funhouse. I've been in at the main stage area before.
It was really cool. That was actually my first time to Mr. Smalls at all. So the Funhouse was really cool. The stage was pretty decent size for, you know, a local stage kind of deal. And the room was pretty big, too. Nice outdoor smoking area for the people who smoke. And the bar was pretty decent sized bar. Sound was really good. We had a really good sound guy. I want to say his name's Danny, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But he usually does work at the Rex Theater. He was fantastic. So,
Have you played at the Sidebar yet? Or is that going to be your first time there, too?
That'll be my first time playing it there, but I've been there before.
Okay. The sound man there, Big E, he does a pretty good job.
Yes, I've never had any issues listening to the sound out there. It always sounds pretty good, so.
He used to play drums for a band called Cage from Catania. Have you played any charity events?
I've not had an opportunity to do that yet.
Would you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'll put that in the back of my mind for later.
Sure, for sure, man.
So where did the name Tidefall come from?
Tidefall, I was trying to do something that was going to be reminiscent of the music and to kind of... trying to like find the best way to put this. I wanted a name that would reflect on the music, I guess would be the best way to put it. So that's kind of where we were going with it. I didn't want to do anything that sounded too corny or anything.
Have you ever written a song based on inspiration from a different band, whether it be local or a international band?
No, I wouldn't say any particular band would come to mind. I would say that the music that I do write has more to do with trying to capture just basically the sound that influenced me. I got a review on Control recently where the guy was kind of saying, you know, this song is very reminiscent of like the early 2000s, and you know, throw it into your MP3 player with your Big Dew, like your Mountain Dew Big Slam. And at first I was just kind of like, ah, man. But this guy said, was like, oh, get it with your Mountain Dew Big Slam and put it with your favorite like Scott Stapp tracks. And I was like, oh, really?
So I take it from that you're not a Scott Stapp fan.
it's not that I'm not. I think Creed did really awesome music, but I'm more so a fan because I love Mark Tremonti's work. So, gotcha. Scott Stapp was like just the butt of jokes for a while, so I was just kind of like, oh man, I don't know if this is like a compliment or an insult.
I was reading an article earlier today, and it was the top 12 things you should not ask a musician. And usually when I see those, I read them to make sure I haven't been asking those things, and I didn't have any of them. But...
I read that one too, and I kind of cracked up with the second one where they're like, oh, you sound like these guys.
That's exactly what made me think of it.
Nobody wants to be told you're unoriginal. Well, too freaking bad, dude. Like, sometimes your music just isn't groundbreaking. Like, well, you know, grow up.
There's only so many notes that you can play.
Right, and that's what's so funny, because people are just like, I don't sound like those people. I'm my own sound. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure your Marshall half stack and your Gibson Les Paul would beg to differ. You know, I say that as a Les Paul player.
Well, I was trying to guess what your username, the EPI, was that Epiphone?
Yeah. I used to play Epiphones pretty frequently. I recently, earlier this year, got myself a 2016 Les Paul Traditional, and it's been hard to put down.
I know musicians like to talk about their equipment. Is there anything else you want to mention that you have?
I play through a EVH 15 watt 5150 head and a Blackstar 2x12 cab, and I also sometimes will take out with me my PRS SE24 standard. So,
how many pedals do you have?
Surprisingly, not that many. I'm kind of bare bones. I actually went on a slight pedal buying craze this past winter, but right now the only thing I really work with, I actually have a custom pedal that Jay Allman built me. from Allman Guitars, and I use that. It's got like a chorus and reverb and phaser in it. And I also have Mark Holcomb's Haunted Delay. He's one of the guitarists for Periphery. Mm-hmm. And I have an Echoplex clean booster that I use, and it's whenever I've got a solo coming up, I just hit it. It's like a little mini stomp box, and I get up to like 20 decibels of sound. So it's a nice little clean boost.
Cool. Now, with Tidefall being a studio project, and my normal question at this point is, do you have any shows coming up? Does Reign of Z have any shows coming up other than August 19th at the Sidebar with Skell that you'd like to talk about?
Not just yet, because we're still kind of in the process. We're planning on trying to get ourselves ready for a tour in the coming months. And so right now we're just kind of picking and choosing what we're going to be doing show-wise, because we don't want to oversaturate ourselves in Pittsburgh, because you know how that usually goes.
Mm-hmm.
People overbook themselves, and then you don't get a lot of attendance at the shows. So we're trying to kind of keep our footprint light here, and we're going to start looking at Baltimore and Ohio and maybe, you know, Virginia and New York.
So Reign of Z is at Sidebar August 19th with Skell.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you guys don't have anything recorded quite yet, because I believe you told me you were in pre-production.
Yeah, we are working on finishing up some vocal melodies for our single Pray for Her. We have a YouTube up where we have some clips from our show at the Funhouse that are actually pretty good quality. So if anybody who hasn't had a chance to listen to us, they can go out to our YouTube and check it out. Zosha will be at the Funhouse with Winter's Descent, Never Wake, and Axis 5 on Saturday. And she'll actually be doing a couple performances with Winter's Descent. So
is that the 13th?
The 12th.
Or 12th, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is going to air after that.
Okay.
That's okay, though. We'll leave it in there.
Okay.
People can go look for it on YouTube afterwards.
Right.
And if it's okay with you, on the PA Rock Show website, I will embed some of the stuff from the Funhouse, so people don't have to go searching for it.
No, that's totally fine.
Is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like the listeners to know?
Nothing that's coming to mind.
Well, let's do this. Where can people find Tidefall and Reign of Z on the internet?
Okay, so Tidefall is on Facebook and Bandcamp. And then, of course, music streaming on all the streaming websites. Reign of Z is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and YouTube.
And the usernames are just like Tidefall. Oh, I think on Facebook it's Tidefall Band.
Yeah.
So basically, if they go to Google and they type in Reign of Z Facebook or Reign of Z Instagram, they should be able to find it. And if not, I will put those links in the show notes as well. So make it easy on everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on. Wait, I almost forgot the most important thing. I have a track of yours to play.
Yes.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about the song Control?
So Control was actually a song that was written during my time in Alter the Design. We actually used to play it live. And after I had left Alter, they actually had used a couple of the songs that I had written in my time with them on their CD they released in November.
If you don't mind me asking, which tracks? Because I do play that stuff.
Oh, Drained and Hollow Dream.
Okay. Hollow Dream, I think, was the second track I played.
Yeah. So those were written during my time in the band. And Control has actually changed a little bit from what it was originally. That I tweaked some of the instrumental things. I actually rewrote a good portion of the lyrics. So towards the end of it, that song really ended up becoming more of an endeavor on my own than kind of a retooling of old work, because I really did change a lot of it. So it's the cliche stuff. You know, sometimes you just got to vent about an old relationship, and especially the ones that kind of leave you a little damaged. And that was just kind of my way of embracing it and letting go of it. So that was pretty much the whole point of it. I really wanted to also just have a portfolio for myself. And while, you know, Hollow Dream and Drained were a nice start, they weren't really under me. It was under an old project. So that's what really drove me to get Control recorded.
Now, did that help you hook up with Rain of Z?
It was just kind of a happy accident. The drummer of Rain of Z, Amanda, was also my drummer.
Alter Design. Right.
And I was kind of re-energized when I was going back into the studio, and it was like the week before I put a status up on Facebook, and I was like, you know, what band needs a guitarist? I was just kind of wanting to get back into it. And as soon as I put it up, it was like maybe 2 minutes later, she messaged me and she was like pretty much screaming at me. She's like, are you serious? Are you serious? Like, you know, so she really wanted me in. And so it's cool. It ended up working out really, really well. We wrote some really cool music that I really can't wait to, you know, get out to people, stuff they haven't heard yet. So.
Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and play Control. And we'll hear some more of the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com. And make sure you check us out each and every Friday evening. And once again, thanks for coming on. I started to say that earlier and stopped myself.
Oh, you're good. Thanks for having me, man.
Don't forget to show up on August 19th at the Sidebar in Katanning to see Skell and Rain of Z. My name is Bill, and this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Yeah. taking over.